appreciate the good crowd tonight. The Lord sure is good to us. And I want to look at, if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, in Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. Thank you for your blood sacrifice, Lord, and for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, God, for the remission of our sins. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for a place called heaven. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that we're going to be there soon. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for this blessed book. I pray you'd bless your word, Lord. And this your flock, your bride, God, I pray you'd encourage and strengthen. Let us just get a glimpse of you tonight, I ask you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty. Exodus 25, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. I want to look at the Ark of the Covenant tonight. And we're going to look here. And in the meantime, if you want to do a little turning, you can turn to a couple of places. I'm going to look in Hebrews chapter 9 as well. And I'm also going to look in 1 Chronicles, around about chapter number 13. But verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and the 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and 1 cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. The cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one towards another. Towards the mercy seat shall their faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above it upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." Now, I want us to understand here what's going on. Is we've seen in chapter number 12 of Exodus is what exactly the book is named after. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They've left bondage, and the Passover took place in chapter number 12. And Moses now is getting instructions for worship. They're out in the wilderness here, and he's getting these instructions. He is on top of Mount Sinai. God is there speaking to him. He's given him directions. He's given him basically just the blueprints for his church, his temple, tent, his tabernacle that will be up in the wilderness. And I want you to understand this tabernacle as Moses is getting these instructions, as he's getting these pictures of this from God of how he wants it built. It is nothing less than a picture of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every single bit of it. And we can look at it. We know it's got the fence all the way around it, which is the linen curtain. And it's got only one gate, and there's only one way in. And there's only one way to heaven. And then we've got the tabernacle itself in the center there, the brazen altar, the golden laver there. And then you go in, and you got the lampstand on the right. You've got the table of shewbread on the left. You've got the altar of incense, and there's another veil, the second veil, and that inside it is this article right here that was described first. And if you even look down from above, if you had a drone back in them days and you took the lid off the tabernacle and you looked down inside of it, every article of furniture was, Moses was instructed to place these articles of furniture in a specific position. And if you look down from it above, you would actually see the shape of a cross in this tabernacle. So we must understand that what Moses was doing back then, as we look back to Calvary, Moses was looking towards Calvary. And he may not knew it exactly how it would take place. He may not knew exactly what was going to take place. But he knew that there would be a Redeemer to come and redeem fallen man. And that's what all of this is about. I don't know if you realize it or not, but everything in this entire Bible, from Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God, all the way to Revelation chapter number 21, at the very last verse, it's all pointing to Christ. Everything in it, every word, every jot, every tittle, everything in it is pointing to one man, and that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a hymn book, amen. This is all about Jesus, amen. You look close enough in any story, I don't care what it is, if it's the creation story or if it's all the way to Armageddon, at the end of the book, you can see Christ centered in that. So I want to look at three things tonight. I want to look at this ark here. I want us to look, first of all, at the construction of this ark. Let's look at how it was constructed and the materials that was instructed to use during this. First of all, we see this box, how it was made. It said make a box out of this shittim wood. It's an acacia wood. It is a very strong wood. This wood here is very dense. It's hard. And it's able to endure some bangs. It's able to endure some hard knocks. And I'm glad that my Savior tonight, He's able and He is strong. Amen. I'm glad that I serve a strong God. Amen. He's not a weak God. This world may portray Him in an evening gown, in some of these pictures, His hair long and flowing, and a pretty face. But listen to me. My God is a mighty warrior. He is King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. If we read Revelation chapter 19, we'll see that He's coming back on a white horse, and His sword is drawn. He is a mighty warrior. He will conquer Satan, and He will be victorious over all that's going on in this world right now. Amen. Ain't you glad we serve a strong God? Amen. I ain't serving somebody that's a weakling. I ain't serving a God that might be able to. But I'm serving a God who will be able to and is able to. He's got everything figured out. He knows exactly what He's going to do. And I'm glad that He is in control. Amen. When the devil gets you down, when he beats you up, and when he takes you out back behind the woodshed, listen, you tell him, you may get a lick in or two, but God's going to get the last lick, amen. The Lord Jesus, He's going to finally one day put His, He's going to stomp His head, amen, like the serpent He is. But He is a strong God. But I notice this wood here. I want you to notice something about this wood, studying this wood. This wood is in its stamina. It's very resistant to decay. This wood here is so dense that you could pour water on it. Even with this wood here has got a varnish on top of it or some kind of clear on it to keep it. But, you know, if you poured wood on this naked wood, it would soak it up and rot over time. But this acacia wood, It would, you could pour water on it and it would not let wood go into it. And you know, this wood here is resistant to decay. And might I say tonight that Jesus, He is everlasting to everlasting. Amen. He will not decay. He's something that will last. Everything in this world that you touch, everything in this world that you see, everything that you own, that you got in a bank account or got at your house, it will decay. If you give it enough time, it's going to rot, it's going to rust, and it's going to be withered away. But I serve one tonight who will not wither, and He will not decay. Amen. He's always going to be there. I ain't got to worry if He's going to be there tomorrow when I get up, because He is everlasting to everlasting. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. I notice also about this, something very interesting. I was reading about this decay of wood. And you know what about this? This wood here has branches that goes out. And you know that this specific tree right here is the tree that they think that the old rugged cross was made. And the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. This tree here has thorns up to from 2 to 5 inches long. And I wonder, as Moses was getting these instructions here, if they even thought about those thorns that was in these branches here, and how that one of these days, me look down through time, I wonder if he really understood that there'd be a man that would go down and get a limb off of that tree and wrap it around in a circle and place it on the head of the dear Lamb of God. But also, not only that, but we see this this tree also matures, they say, anywhere from 20 to 40 years. With a perfect tree at around 30 years of age. Our Lord and Savior at around 33 years of age. He went to Calvary's cross. And He died for my sins. And He died for your sins. Ain't you glad of that tonight? I'm telling you that way back then when Moses was constructing this, when Moses was getting all these instructions, it was all about Jesus and all about Christ. We see this box was overlaid with pure gold. We see the wood of this box represents Him as being 100% man. He was from us, amen. But also it's wrapped in gold. It's encased. Each panel is encased in gold, showing the 100% deity of our Lord and Savior. He's not only man, but He's also God. Amen. He is the God-man. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight that we serve a God like Him? But also, I want us to look here. I want us to skip over these rings and go to these staves in the side. He said to get two sticks, we're going to call them. And he said, there's going to be four rings, one on each corner there. He said, run them through them rings there. And he says, that'll be for them to tote it with. And did you know, as we look back at Uzzah, we look over in 1 Chronicles chapter number 15 and 13 it is, we see Uzzah, when he reached down, when he crossed Nacon's threshing floor, the box moved, and Uzzah reached down to touch it, and God killed him right there. So listen to me, this box was, it was so precious, and it was so holy that any man that touched it with his hand, just a simple touch, he would die. And so listen to me, the only way that anybody could touch it was through two sticks. Might I tell you that these two sticks that me and you, hallelujah, that there's two sticks that me and you can touch heaven tonight. I can't touch Him any other way. If I try to touch Him on my own merit, on my own good, I'll be struck dead. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not holy enough. But by the cross, I can reach heaven and I can touch another world. Ain't you glad of that? Those rings back to those are symbols of God's unending love. Through the cross and the love of God, we can get to the box. Ain't you glad of that? And then the mercy seat that was set down on top of this box. This mercy seat was a beaten work. This is where the blood, when the high priest would go in once a year, I say. And he'd go in with a rope, by the way. He'd go in with a rope tied to his leg. And if he dropped dead, they'd have to drag him out. Couldn't nobody go in there and get him. It was that serious of a thing. Boy, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad that we can approach the throne of God boldly? Ain't you glad of that tonight? I bless His name. This is not the case anymore, but Jesus has come and died, and He's opened up the veil, and I can go in where the high priest went. Amen. I say hallelujah to His name. Listen to me now. That's where the blood, when He'd go in, he'd go in and he'd pour that blood, and He'd sprinkle that blood on that mercy seat. This mercy seat was of one solid gold piece, about 3.5 foot long by 2 foot wide. Had these cherubims, angelic beings that were winged up over the top of it. That's where the blood was applied. It was a beaten work where Christ died on Calvary's cross. I'm going to tell you, that's where the blood's at. They got all these pictures with one little spot of blood on Jesus, a little trickle down His face. But I'm telling you that redemption, without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. Calvary was a bloody mess. Calvary was something that was a massacre, my friend. And it was all because of you and me needing to be saved. Amen. The construction of this ark. But let's look now at the contents in the ark. Now, if we read right here, it says, put the testimony or the covenant in it. Or basically the Ten Commandments, we want to say. But I'm going to go a little further and say it's more than the Ten Commandments. It was actually all 613 laws. Now, let me show you this right. We see the contents in Hebrews chapter number 9. There's actually three articles that went in this box. There's three things that was found in this box. And they're all helpful. Now, remember now, what does this box represent? It is a picture, it is a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we read and we look at these contents that are inside of this box, what we're saying tonight is these three contents are inside of Christ for you and I today. Back then they were in that ark, but today I can find them in Christ. Now notice with me, first of all, we see that there was a pot of manna. There was a pot of manna. You can read this in Hebrews chapter 9. I don't think I have time, but go to Hebrews 9 when you get home and read these things. There's a pot of manna. What is this pot of manna? This is the manna. You remember when these children of Israel were out in the desert and they were hungry. And by the way, there's nothing grows in the desert. And there's a lot of times in your life and in my life, we have to walk through desert places. And we have to go through barren places where nothing grows. And there's nothing that we can achieve on our own. There's nothing that we can come by ourselves. But we have to fully depend on God. Anybody in the house that's ever had to fully depend on God to supply every single need of your day. Listen to me. These times when we couldn't even raise our head in the day if it hadn't have been for God. But I'm glad that He supplies all of our needs. And that's what the pot of manna is saying. Hallelujah to God. It's good to be saved. I'm glad tonight that in my Christ, I can find a pot of manna. It shows its sustaining power. But not only that, we also see something peculiar in there. We see Aaron's rod, according to Hebrews 9. And Aaron's rod is an amazing thing. It wasn't nothing but a stick, basically. But there was something special about this stick. This stick, it actually had no roots in the ground. It had no water source, but it budded. And it bore almonds, the Bible says. What an amazing, ain't you glad tonight? I say, ain't you glad that God has some safety in the ark? You know what the Bible says in Psalms 23? Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I'm glad that this rod here, as we've seen, is provision in the pot of manna. I'm glad that there's some power and there's some protection in the rod. Amen. I'm glad that we look at this and we see what Aaron did with this rod, what Moses did with this rod as he went before Pharaoh.
They threw down their rods. Them magicians threw theirs down. Moses threw his down. Aaron threw it. And listen what? Moses' rod ate up their rods. And I'm glad that God's an all-powerful God. Listen, no matter how deep the valley, no matter how high the mountain, no matter how bad a storm it is that you're facing, listen, in Christ is a powerful rod. Blossoms and it bears almonds, and I'm glad that He's powerful enough to conquer any enemy that we might face. And that's who I serve. The pot of manna and the Aaron's rod. But lastly, we see these tablets of stone in this little 2 foot by 3.5 box, about 2 foot deep. And these tablets of stone, what an amazing thing. These tablets of stone here, now I'm going to say, you know, we always talk about the law and we think, well, that's 10 commandments. But there's 613 laws. There's 613 laws on these tablets here. Now, we might prevent you, we might keep the 10 commandments for a day or two. That's the truth. Most folks probably can't keep them a day or two, including me. Let alone 613. And listen, by the way, if you wanted to be a holy man, if you wanted to be somebody that was right with God, you had to keep them. You had to keep all these laws. But listen to me, in my Christ, in my box, is every law, all the 10 commandments. He swallowed them up, and I'm glad that He paid for my redemption. And listen to me, when I got saved, when I knelt down in an old-fashioned altar and accepted Christ into my heart, got born again, He took my filthy rags and imputed to me His righteousness. And that's how I'm holy. That's how I'm righteous. It's not because of my merit. It's not because I kept the 10 commandments today. It's not because I try to stay up under the law. But it's because Jesus kept the law. And Jesus fulfilled the law. And I'm glad tonight that I'm getting in because He has fulfilled it. Hallelujah to God. Ain't you glad tonight? Glory to His name. He's holy. Therefore, I'm holy. And I don't even look right. I don't even sound right. But I'm telling you the truth. His righteousness. At Calvary, I got to say this. It ain't but 8:13. At Calvary, when they took that scarlet robe off, they took it off of Him. And every soldier, there's 4 soldiers, they all got a part. But that one single robe, they cast lots. And only one of them got that robe. And you know what that one robe was? That symbolized the righteousness of God. And you know what He done at Calvary's cross before the Father beat Him? The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Isaiah 53, what God done there on Calvary's cross, He took His darling Son's righteousness off and laid it down at the foot of the cross. For whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life. Amen. And listen, in 1981, July the 29th, I knelt down in an old-fashioned altar and I reached down and I put on His righteousness. Amen. And what else happened? I'll tell you what happened. While there at Calvary, way back then, I wasn't there. But He took my sins and He bore them on His body and nailed my transgressions to an old rugged cross. Hallelujah to God. That's why my sins is gone. I'm wearing His attire. And He took my attire back then. Took every bit of it. Every bit of it before I even done it. Somehow or another, He reached up through the corridors of time and grabbed everything that I'd ever done and put it on His back. And God the Father looked at it and He punished it and He beat it and He whipped Him and He hurt Him there on the cross all because of my sins. And I'm holy tonight. I'm redeemed tonight because of what He did. That's how I'm redeemed. Ain't you glad of that? Hallelujah to God. How ought to make you want to shout? How ought to make you want to shout tonight? Because you're not under the law. And you're not under that. You're not under that curse. But listen to me. I am holy tonight because He's made me holy. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. The construction. Ark. The contents of the ark. But lastly, let's look at the courtesies of the ark. What is this ark? How is it going to benefit me? How's it going to benefit me? Well, I want you to look 1 Chronicles 13. I want you to see Uzzah. And there's another man. His name is Obed-Edom. I want to show you what the Bible says about him. Now, what's taking place here? David is going, and he's getting the ark from the Philistines, and he's carrying it back to Jerusalem. He wants to carry this ark back. And he goes, and Uzzah's driving the cart, and a hoe, they're driving the cart, and they hit, and they come stretching forward, and the cart bounces, and Uzzah reaches back to touch it, and God kills him. And everything stops dead in its tracks. David's all tore up. He don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, here we are. And he says, what are we going to do with this ark? He said, I can't go no further with it. He said, we got to do something with it. And they looked down the road there and said, there's a fellow lives right there by the name of Obed-Edom. We'll take it over there and we'll set it down in his house till the Lord gives us further instruction. And Obed-Edom, guess what he done? He took that ark and he set it in his house. Watch it now. Verse number 13 of chapter 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord, watch this, and the Lord blessed the house of... Oh, did it say it blessed Obed-Edom? No. It said it blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now, what's the benefits? Now, remember what that ark is. What's the ark? It's Christ. It's an Old Testament picture. It's an Old Testament image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Obed-Edom, he took that ark and he set it in his house. He set it right in his living room floor, that right in the smack dab middle of the floor there. And I believe with all my heart, he paid it reverence. And I believe he honored that box. God blessed him. And I want to say this tonight. Does it seem like everything might be stacked against you? Listen to me. Have you ever had a time where it seems like everything in your life is going haywire? Everything's out of control. The marriage is messing up. The kids is going crazy. I ain't got enough money in the bank account. My job is teeter-tottering. I'm about to lose my mind. Everything's crazy. Could it be tonight? Because the box ain't in the right place. Could it be tonight because we ain't got Him as the central focus of our lives? Everything that you've got, you see some people. I notice some people that ain't got the best jobs. They ain't got all the money in the world. It don't seem like they've got anything that this devil and this world has to offer, but it seems like they got peace. You ever wondered why that is? It's because they got that box in the right place. One lesson that it takes a lifetime to learn sometimes is it ain't all about the things and the trinkets and the gadgets, but it's all about Him. And where you got Him in your life, if you got Him in the center, if you got Him in the middle, in His
everything revolves around Him, He'll put everything in its place and everything will do good. One preacher said, Obed Edom's chicken probably laid double yolk eggs. Amen. Lamb's probably tasted better. Amen. Everything done good. You know what, tonight, if just peradventure, I'm just going to bring something up in your mind, maybe to help you. And it may not be for everybody. Probably ain't. It sure has hit me in my caboose, amen, and let me know I need to work on some things. If everything is going out of order and everything is hard, I've seen that on Facebook. I've seen people talk about it's difficult. Everything's going good right now. Pray for me and this, that, and other. Everything's just haywire. And it's all right to ask for prayer. But listen to me. One thing that will help, I promise you, by the authority of the Word of God, is if you'll take that box, if you'll take Christ and put Him in the center of your home, it didn't say it just bless you, but it'll bless your wife, it'll bless your children, it'll bless your job, all that pertaineth to Him, it'll bless everything about your life if you'll just put Him where He belongs.
Where is he tonight? 1 Chronicles 15, we see a couple of things, how God blessed him. Bible says in chapter 15 that Obed-Edom was a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper in the tabernacle. Now hold up, preacher. I didn't know there's any doors in the tabernacle. Well, actually, there's two that you could call doors. One of them was the veil that went in to the holy place. And then you go in there where the table of shewbread is, the golden lampstand, and the altar of incense, and you go in, and then you see another curtain, another veil. And you know what? There's two men mentioned that took care of these doors. There's two men. And what they would do when this high priest or when the very first door, all the Levites, the priests, they would go in through that first door to the table of shewbread and the lampstand and altar of incense, and they would serve in there. And one man would pull back that curtain and allow them to come in. That's a doorkeeper. And then you'd go to the main veil. The veil that was talked about being ripped over in our Gospels. And there'd be another man there that he would pull back that curtain and allow the high priest once a year to go in. And you know what? You may have a job in the church. Whatever it might be. It may be singing. It may be teaching a class. It may be sitting where you're sitting tonight. I'm going to tell you something. To that preacher that sits over in that chair right there and my daddy and the leaders of this church, when you're in your place, it's a blessing. You hear what I'm saying? And when you're not here, I'm going to tell you something from experience. When you're not here, I could probably just from being here, I could tell you about where everybody in here sits. I promise you that preacher, Brother Ken, I promise you he can tell you exactly to the place where you sit. And if you're not here, it bothers him. So you got a job. You're part of the body. And you know what? We've experienced the glory in this place. And we've experienced God. And I think about Obed-Edom as he may have pulled back that curtain there as the high priest took the blood of that little lamb and walked through that curtain there. And that's where that box was, inside that veil. That as he pulled back that curtain, I wonder if he might have got a glimpse every once in a while. Or if he might have got a whiff of the smoke, the holy smoke that was inside that room every once in a while. Listen to me. If you'll be where you're supposed to be and do the job that you're supposed to do, it might just be once a year, but I'm telling you, God will come through and He'll bless you and give you that encouragement you need. Also, we see him in that same chapter. Obed-Edom was a harp player. Not only that, he led the band. He led the choir. He was in the choir for the tabernacle music. What an honor that'd be. Now, I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know where you're at in life. You may be facing some things that just get you to shaking. I've been there. I've been the place where I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to go crazy. You've been there. You've been to where everything that you picked up fell apart. Am I right about it? You've been to the place to where it seemed like you got one more phone call about your kids. You got one more call about your job. You got one more of this or that. You was going to literally weep. And some of you went to the bathroom. Some of you's been to you've been to your closet and you've cried your eyeballs out till you couldn't cry no more. I want to encourage you tonight to do one thing. Find that box and get it and carry it. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come before the throne of grace boldly. So you can now approach this box and you can wrap your arms around it. And you can take it to the center of your house. And listen to me. If you're bullheaded like me, listen. And I've been this bullhead. If you're bullheaded like me, you try it your way. Leave out of here, throw this in the garbage, chalk it up as another Wednesday night, and go on about your merry business. Done it 100 times. But when you, listen to me, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll take some instruction. I'm telling you like I know it. You get him and put him where he belongs, and you watch him see if it don't pick up business. He can help you. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your good glory. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for helping us tonight. We pray, God, that you'd bless your word. I pray, God, that you'd bless, Lord, your people. Help me, Lord God, to put you in the center of my life, my home. And may my main focus be on you. And we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.